Well, thank you very much for your welcome. It's really good to be here. When I was a young minister, like your minister, I used to do children's meetings and children's services and young people's services. And now they ring up and say, Mr. Fox, can you come to the Silver Liners? Can you come to the Evergreens and do a meeting for us? And then I say, oh, yes, and realise now those young days have long gone, as you can see. And then they ask me to do a harvest, and I'm a Belfast man, so I don't know too much about farming and things like that. I used to hear about them when I was in Fermanagh talking about dropped calves, and I wonder who dropped them, and all those things they were doing. But I never like to ask them in case I think I'm a bit daft. You see, I knew about the farmer. He lived away in the hills outside Ballymena. Maybe you heard about him. He was living in the hills, and he didn't go into town very often. He lived very simply. So he got the old tractor one day, and he went in, and he saw in the Ballymena in the tractor, and he saw this big store called Tesco. He thought he would go in, so in he went, and he looked all around. He was amazed. Then he saw these big things up in the shelf. He says to the lady, what are those? Well, she says, those are thermos flasks. He says, what's a thermos flask? Well, she says, it keeps hot things hot and it keeps cold things cold. He says, amazing, he says. He says, I'll have one of those. So he took the biggest he could get. And he went away home with it and went to bed. Next day he's out in the field and he's bringing the flask out and he's sitting down. His mate came along, the tractor. He was just like him. He was living in the sticks too. He says, what's that you've got? He said, it's a thermos flask. He says, what does that do? He says, it keeps hot things hot and it keeps cold things cold. He said, what have you got in it? He says, 3 cups of coffee and 2 ice lollies. So that wasn't so wise, sure wasn't. But it's nice to be here and to share this time with you. It's a while since I've been here, and pray God bless you in the meeting tonight. I'd just like to read a couple of verses from Hosea. You probably know these verses all right. It's Hosea chapter 10. And thank you for having me. And Ruth, we're very pleased to be here with you. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 11. And Ephraim is like an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have ploughed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiling Beth Arabel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. And a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Verse 12 says it is time to seek the Lord. You know, they come in all shapes, and they come in all sizes, they come in all colors, and you have them inside and we have them outside. And we have them in the towns, and we have them in the cities, and we even have them in our homes. I'm talking about clocks and about watches. We wear them on our wrists. Sometimes men have them in their pocket, and sometimes we have them in our cars. And there's one thing about a watch, even though it may make the sweetest sounds, and even though it may look very nice, the most important thing about a watch or a clock is that the time is correct, and the correctness of time. And if someone were to ask us, what time is it? You'd tell them the time. But I wonder if we were to ask spiritually, what time is it? Because I believe that God, he's not in our time zone, but believe God has a time for certain things. There's a time to reap. There's the time to sow. The farmer knows what time to put in the seed. And he knows what time to look out and to do whatever he has to do. There's a man goes to the wee church I help. He's a potato farmer. I know you'd call him Murphy too, wouldn't you believe it? So when I went to school, there was a fellow called Murphy. He almost got spud. And so this man knows, I asked him about the potatoes. He says, well, it's time to put them in. It's time to spray them. It's time to do this. And it's time to do that. I like the time it is to come to eat them. That's the main thing, isn't it? But he knows all about these things. But if God were to ask God, what time is it? We would know that God's time is perfect. That God's schedule is taking place. That God is not sleeping, for he never slumbers nor sleeps. That God is working on and on, just as the ground is working on and on when we're sleeping and when we're going about our business. And I want to tell you this tonight. I believe this, and you need to listen tonight. It's never been so late before. I believe the world in which we're living in today is bankrupt, not just financially, it's bankrupt politically. There's hardly a leader in the whole world, from America right through to Australia. Years ago we had statesmen and we had people who could make a great decision and lead their nations. It's bankrupt politically and it's bankrupt morally. And you know I'm saying the truth. We put on our television sets and we put on our radios and we hear even a comedian that must be a smirty yarn and other things. And I tell you this, it has never been so late before. And very soon God is going to gather in the final harvest. It says it is time to seek the Lord. That's the time God has given us. We're glad tonight that we're living in a harvest time. I'm glad we're living in a day of grace. But soon, soon, the day of grace could be gone. Soon, the harvest will be gathered in. And soon, we will be with the Lord, which is far better. Time is passing for the sinner. Time. When I was a young fella, I used to say, when I heard in Sunday school about getting saved, and get saved when I'm a teenager. And then when I became 12 and teenage years came, I thought, well, sure, I'll leave it another wee way and get saved when I'm out of my teens. And then you think, I'll leave it another wee way. And just before I turned 20, God saved me. After a drunken time in the south of Ireland, God came into my life. And the time is passing. Time is passing. And God is calling the sinner. He calls the case, come down. Today. Today I'm going to your house. He called Nathaniel, I saw you behind the tree. He called Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road. This day's your day, Saul of Tarsus. This day's your day, Nathaniel. This day's your day, Zacchaeus. And he called them. And he called the disciples. And he called them by name. And the Lord Jesus in this meeting tonight could be calling you by name. And you know and you hear him at your heart's door. And that's why it's time to seek the Lord. Because he's passing this way. And he's personally calling. And with Mary, you know, they often criticize Martha and the Mary's sister. And they always seem to think Martha was the one who does things. Well, I know the Lord said to her, Martha, Martha, don't be so fussy, and all, or something like that. But you know, when Lazarus died, it was Martha who went out to meet the Lord first. And she went in John 11 and 28 and said to Mary, Mary, and she was sitting crying. She says, Mary, the Master's come and he's calling for you. Is that not you tonight? Hasn't the Master come? Come and he's calling for you. What a day it is when the Master calls. What a day it is when you hear his voice. Today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's the real message of the gospel. And you see, it's time to seek the Lord because he's passing this way. It's time to seek the Lord because he can personally call you. And it's time to seek the Lord because the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't come to Jesus when you like. You can't come to Jesus when you just say, oh, I'm with him a teenager.
It's when the Spirit of God moves and convicts and convinces you of sin and calls you. And Jesus said, except the Spirit of my Father draw you, you can't come. But he did say this. He says, my spirit will not always strive with man. At a lady in my congregation, that's the first she was saved through, not through me. She was saved in another place. She says, I realized that God could withdraw his spirit from me. And if he does withdraw his spirit, all the preaching of Jonathan or Paul singing or John's preaching or my preaching will have no effect. Because you can cross the line. You can, as it were, turn your back in Christ for the last time. You can indeed grieve the Holy Spirit. And you can quench. And so he says tonight, it's time to seek the Lord. Isn't it very solemn? Have you no concern? I used to sleep in the same room as my brother Jim. My brother Jim was saved when he was 14. And I used to look over at his bed at nights wondering, was he still there? Because I knew if he was away, maybe the Lord had come. That's how the Lord was speaking to me. I had a concern about my soul. Even when I went to the dance halls, I was still concerned. Even when I went to the bar, I was still concerned. I knew I needed to be saved, and I wanted to be saved, but I still wanted my sins. Still wanted to hold on to them. Still thought this was life. Still thought these Christians going to their prayer meetings, going to their Bible studies, I felt a bit sorry for them. I didn't go out and enjoy life a wee bit. But I was blind. I was blind. It's very solemn when God stops speaking to someone. And the preaching will have no effect, and all the singing will have no effect. And my wife went to a meeting one night in a wee village called Cash. Cash is in Fermanagh, as you probably know. And she told me one night, because I had to do other services, and she took the two children, they're very small men. She says, normally, you know, a man came and he was saying that in a certain meeting, this man they were preaching to, and this man was prayed for, and this man knew the gospel, and this man knew that this night was his night to get saved. And he says that the Spirit of God was speaking to him and challenging him and calling him. And the preacher was making the appeal. And he fought it and fought it and fought it. And his nails dug into the very seat in front of him and indented the seat. You know what he said after a while? And he says, I'd never any interest in the gospel after that. He said, everything just seemed to leave me. Just seemed to leave me. What a solemn thing. It's too late. You make all the excuses. You can say, I planned to be. The devil says this. He blames the minds of those that believe not. This is the thing of God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember that this is the day the Lord hath given. Remember it's time to seek the Lord. When God spoke to Belshazzar, he wrote up on the wall, you're weighed in the balances, you're found wanting. What if God were to put us into the balances tonight? Would we be found wanting? When the Spirit is withdrawn, and when the Savior is withdrawn, and your soul is withdrawn. The Lord says, we called, and you didn't answer. He says, we piped, and you didn't dance, is what the Lord says. It's time to seek the Lord. What time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. The Lord says, the Lord came on to his own, and they received him not. Pegasus says, I'm washing my hands off him. People of Nazareth says, off you go, throw them over the cliff. The man of Gadara says, leave our coast. Well, they're fortunate he came back. The thief on the cross says, I don't want him, but you can have him. What time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. What about the Christians? Isn't it time to awake? Isn't it time to give ourselves a sheep? Give or ask yourself, dear believer, why there's no revival? Well, I'm not an expert in these things. But I can tell you this, our country needs it. Our country is worse today than I ever remember in my life. Our country has ruined the Lord's day. Our country in schools, in some schools, the gospel is almost barred. In our country, we have disobedience to parents. In our country, it seems as if the believers take it easy, many of them. In our country, it seems that we're just leaving it as believers, but no, heal by there, shame by there, heal him, do it, shame, do it. But I'm not going to do it. And the first wee wave hits the boat, we're away. And you see, friends, why is there no revival? Because it's time for us to seek the Lord. First of all, I believe this. We're holding on to something we shouldn't hold on to. Moses thought in his strength he could bring the Israelites out, and he killed a man. And God banished him for 40 years. God says, you'll do it my way, my strength. Stop doing it our way. Start doing things God's way. First of all, we're holding on to things that belong to God. Ananias and Sapphira, they held on to something they promised to give to God. Maybe we've made vows, maybe we've made promises, and we're holding on, and we haven't given our vow, and we haven't fulfilled our vow, and we haven't fulfilled our promises. We're holding on. God says, you've robbed me. How could you rob God? Norman, that's a stupid thing to say. Well, it says in Malachi chapter 3, you've robbed God in tithes and offerings. Maybe we haven't brought the tithes into the storehouse. Maybe that's why he hasn't opened the window of heaven, because all the believers haven't brought the tenth in. Ah, but I can do more with the tenth than God could do with it. I can do more with 10 tenths than God could do with 1 tenth. God says, bring them in and prove me. It says in Matthew 25, I give some 10, and I give some 5, and I give some 1. And I give you this and I give you that. And we've never used them. We're holding on. We've never launched out into the deep. We're afraid to get our feet wet. We're afraid as if we do wrong. We're afraid. When I was going out, I was a pastor, as you know, for 23 years. I think I'm still a pastor from a Heppelby church up there Monday morning. I'm still there. When I was going out to work in Romania, left the church, left the monks, everything that I had. Going out in faith, and the big fellow does my tax returns, if I'm not that brainy to do certain things. And he's a big unsaved man. And I can tell you this, he's been doing this since 1980, and he hasn't charged me a penny yet, and he's a full-fledged accountant. And I says, what I'm doing, you know what he says? He said, you know what? I says, I'm going out to do things with children, young people, poor villages, going round. He says, have you been to the doctor? I says, no, I haven't been to the doctor. But I've been to the Lord. Been to the Lord. Have you ever launched out? You ever launched out in faith? And then nobody behind you, and you're looking to God for everything. Oh, it's easy to preach faith. It's easy to teach about faith. But to launch out in faith. Maybe we're holding on. And you cover your sin, you'll not prosper. Maybe we're holding on. Jesus said, isn't it time to repent? Didn't he say, you're ignorant? He says, you're blind. He says, open your eyes in Revelation 3. He says, I'm at your heart's door. I'm at the door of the church. You're holding on to something. And I'm not here. You regard iniquity in your heart. I wonder today, are we insensitive to God and the Holy Spirit? Are we putting... Jesus said, if you put family first, if you put the ground first, if you put your other things first, your oxen first, your car first, or do something else, he says, you're not my disciple. You're not my disciple. Now, he doesn't say it was a problem to have a bit of ground. He didn't say it was a problem to have a family, no way. But he says, you lovest thy me more than these. More than these. We're holding on, maybe. Maybe we're holding back. Wee woman, and the Lord Jesus looked at her one day in the temple and the treasury, and he says, that woman gave more than all those other people, and she only gave a mite. She wasn't holding on, nor she wasn't holding back. And then he says also, she did what she could. A lady who met him one day. And maybe we're holding back, and maybe we're holding on. Maybe we're not letting go. Maybe we're afraid to trust the Father who never fails. The one who made the sparrows and attends every sparrow's funeral. And the one who says you're more important than the sparrows, and the one who says I hear the ravens when they cry, and the one who fed Elijah and sent ravens down with meat in for him, and sent a woman down and met that wee woman, and the cruiser boy never went on, and the man who walked in the water, the man who calmed the storm, the man who made the stars and the moon and the sun and makes these flowers and makes all these things, we can't hardly trust him. Isn't that right? Isn't it time to seek the Lord? Isn't it time, believer? He says, break up your fallow ground. Untouched ground. You know that story. Unfruitful ground. Unproductive ground. Undisturbed ground. Remember the woman in Song of Solomon when he came, he knocked her door. The one she loved, he knocked her door. And she says, I'm in bed. And I have to smile when I read everything. She says, I've put off my coat. Wasn't it very hard to put your coat on, Paul, wasn't it? Do you ever hear excuse? I can read a book on excuses. Excuses. I couldn't put my coat on. And then he says, oh, react again. And he says, I can get up. Oh, but see, when she got up, he was away. He was away. And every time someone will get up, the Lord will say, you can do some way without you. It's time to seek the Lord. There is time. There's the calm of time too. One day, it says, the hymn writer says, time will bear all her sons away. Moses is gone. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Matthew, Bartholomew, Peter and James and John. And one day you'll be gone. What will you leave behind? You'll be gone. Read Genesis 5. They all died. Stephen's gone. First martyr. Maybe the captain's gone. Love the Lord. One voice for Christ. The thief's gone. Enoch is gone. Gone to be with the Lord. And it says here in Revelation chapter 14, it says, time will come and what will happen. It says in Revelation 14 and verse 15, and the angel came out of the temple and crying with a loud voice to him that sat in the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. It says in chapter 11 and verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the day that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward to thy servants. The time has come when the final harvest will come, friends. And I believe we're getting very close to the final harvest. I believe, you know, tonight we've seen the signs that God has given us that the nations are coming to an end. Did you ever think you'd see a parade of homosexuals in Londonderry? When we were in the Donegal Road, we didn't have much, but thing of this, there was a fear of God. Did you ever think that march through Belfast and defy everybody and go defy God in our city? As it was in the days of Sodom, pride. And what do they call themselves? Gay pride. As it was in the days of Sodom. Read about it in Ezekiel. Say there was idleness. There's more unemployment tonight. And plenty of bread, but they won't share it. As it was in the days of Sodom. And as it was in the days of Noah. Read the days of Noah. There was two types of religion. There was the one, Abel, who believed in the blood of the Lamb. Believed that God wanted a lamb to be slain to be accepted with him. And God still does the same. You cannot please God without the blood of the lamb. For the blood cleanses from all sin. Isn't it great? There's not a sin that the blood can't cleanse. Isn't it great? There's not a sinner he can't make clean in the blood of the lamb. And the other boy came. He brought the fruit of the ground. He thinks this won't please God. It must have been beautiful. But God says, listen, Cain, don't be getting angry. There's a sin offering at your door. And he wouldn't go out and take the lamb and sacrifice it. In the days of Noah, there was violence. You used to leave your doors open when I was in Belfast. You used to go into each other's houses. Now they lock the doors and they lock the front and they lock the back and they can hardly go out at night. It was the days of city building. Sure, the countryside near took over. There was days of different things that went on. But it says God sent a preacher. God always sends a preacher. And not only did he send the preacher, but he says there's the place where they can be safe. And he not only sent the preacher and told them there was a place, he says he sends his spirit to plead. Thank God there's still a place where sins are washed away. Thank God there's a place called the cross where you can come in faith and lay your burdens down and receive the Lord Jesus Christ's forgiveness when you repent of your sins. And thank God the Spirit is still in the world today until the Lord comes. And the signs are here. Signs are here. Russia's rising again. You watch it. I remember just there a few months ago doing a wee Bible reading after I'd done the preaching. I said that he want to hear a wee Bible reading. So I read with you Isaiah 19. And Isaiah 19 said that God would turn Egyptian against Egyptian. And they would get a fierce king. They're waiting for him. And he says the fish would dry up. The fish would go bad. The land would go bad. And all the different things. Read it yourself. Isaiah 19. I said to them, now listen. You can see it in your television. Egyptians against Egyptian. Also, that I read a magazine. They built these dams on the Nile. Coming from Ethiopia and Africa and other places, they built so many dams. You know what's happening now? You remember the verse, cast your bread in the water, you receive it after many days. That was regarding the Nile. The Nile overflowed the land and they threw the seeds onto the water. And when the water receded, it took the seeds into the ground. Now, they're saying they're not getting enough water through. And it's drying up, as it says in Isaiah 19. And the fishermen have had to give up their fishing. I read the magazine. Fishermen have given up their jobs as fishermen. The farmers are giving up. They're going back into the cities. And the Mediterranean Sea, the silt that came and fertilized the land up the River Nile, it used to make a barrier also with the Mediterranean. And now there's not enough silt coming up. The Mediterranean is coming in and ruining the land too. God told him that 3,000 years ago. I read it in the magazine this year. The signs are here. And soon the sign will be here. Behold, he cometh. And then we'll have the signs and we'll have the sound. But praise God, the sight will be here. We're going to a city. Lying forward, scribe, going to home. We're going to heaven. And we're going to sorrow no more and sigh no more. And you can see time, it's the correct time. God's time is the correct time. There's the calm of time. But soon there'll be the cessation of time. It says in Revelation 10 that time won't be no more. No more time to get saved. No more time to serve. No more time to say that sorry. No more time to speak and be with the Lord. Oh, I wish we'd given him more. Given more of my time, more of my life, more of I'm with this work over near 40 years now. 30 years, 1978, entered college in the Methodist Church. 1980, started the work, 81 ordained, 30 odd years. And I want to tell you this, I'm as keen tonight as I was when I started. Praise the God, I want to thank him for that. But I wish you'd given them more. I wonder, friends, and my last meeting won't take place someday, and your last sermon you'll hear won't take place someday. You'll have your last meeting someday, and time won't be no more. But tonight, it's time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. What has the Lord done for us? Well, Ephesians 2 says these words. On verse 13. in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Not terrible, having no hope, and without God in the world. Here's what he says. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. He's destroyed distance between us and God, hasn't he? We're brought nigh. We're once afar off, now we're brought nigh. He didn't finish here. For he is our peace. He's destroyed dissension. Didn't finish there. Who hath made both one. He's destroyed disunion. Didn't finish there. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's destroyed division. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, he's destroyed distinction. There's no big men in Christ. There's no big women in Christ. I am only a sinner saved by grace, and so are you. Have you got it? He's destroyed distance. He's brought us nigh to God through his blood. He's destroyed dissension. He's made us one. He's broken down the middle wall that divided us. Now he's destroyed division. And he's destroyed disunion. And he's destroyed any distinction. That's a negative, you could say. Well, I'd say it's a positive. What has he achieved? And that he made reconciling both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That's what he's achieved. Bring us to God. That's the achievement. And came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. That was the anointing. Somebody came to preach with anointing. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now we have access. Aren't we a privileged people, John, to have this from God? It's time to seek the Lord. I'll close with this. Man came home one day from work, and he had a parcel for his wife. His wife wasn't so well, and she was upstairs in bed. And he came home with a parcel, surprise for her. His wee girl looked at him. She's only a wee girl. She says, "Daddy, what's that?" She says, "This is a parcel for your mama. She's not well." She says, "Daddy, I can take it up to her." He says, "Now, dear, you couldn't take it up because she was a cripple. She couldn't walk." He says, "You can hardly take yourself. You hardly walk yourself." Aksha says, "Daddy, put the parcel in my arms and I'll carry it. And Daddy, put me in your arms and you can carry me." That's all you got to do. Have you got a burden in it? And you can't carry it? He can carry you on the burden. Isn't that right? He's able. But it's time. And time's gone. It's time to seek the Lord. This is a harvest. The harvest from the past. And the summer's ended. You're not saved. You're not saved. Maybe this will be our last harvest. Who knows? But you make sure you seek the Lord tonight. Amen.